from Pulitzer Prize finalist, New York Times bestselling author, and newly crowned Newbery Prize winner, Dave Eggers. Soren's seventh song is a deadpan take on creativity and persistence, as told through the eyes of a humpback whale looking for a new song. Soren is a young humpback whale, loves music, but is tired of the dull, droning, endless songs that are frustratingly popular among the adult whales he knows. He has ideas for better songs, shorter, up-tempo tunes with snare drums, even maracas. Unfortunately, every time he shares his new tunes with his friends, he's met with less than encouraging feedback, even a bit of discreet whale vomiting. In this, what is an upbeat story, Dave Eggers offers readers an essential creative advice. Your first drafts are probably really, really terrible. Soren's seventh song is the name of the new book. It's published by Abrams, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Dave Eggers back to the roundtable. Dave, thank you very much for being here. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a very surreal couple weeks. Like you, I don't know how long ago it was. It's been a continuous out-of-body experience.
Is there something that was, I mean, we talked about this at the time, but that story was a very special story that obviously struck a chord with a lot of people. And I'm just curious as what you make of that.
Well, I think it's also a very weird story. I published it, and then, you know, you don't usually go right back and read it. So it was about a year after I think I said goodbye to the book and sent it to the printer that I was asked to annotate it for a fundraiser for a bookstore, Newtonville Books near Boston. And that was the first time I'd reread it. And I just happened to dip in while I was annotating it. And I was struck by how strange it was. And I wrote it, but I thought, my God, I really let myself write in a kind of an untethered way. And that's what makes it, I think, really especially gratifying when I've never had more fun writing. And I guess it somehow still made sense to readers, and maybe that sense of abandon somehow translated to and was maybe felt by the reader too. And you never know. Sometimes when you have a really good time writing it, you think you've written something great, and then it makes absolutely no sense. And I've always found that that's the case since I was a painting student. Sometimes you'd be right in the middle, deep into a painting, and you think you're creating something really great, and then you back up 6 feet, and it's just horrible. And so that was a little bit of the inspiration for this book, actually, I guess. The Soren Seventh song was that, you know, the act of creation is a little bit different than the act of sort of whatever you've created actually resonating with another person, a viewer or a reader. That's a whole different alchemy. It's a bit of luck, and it's you really just never know if it's going to work out. So, and I was just exploring that a little bit, but I think that the one mitigating factor is if you are willing to continue to work at something and write 10, 20 drafts or revise endlessly, then you can sometimes be a little bit more sure that something is working.
Soren's seventh song, you write, "If you know of the humpback whale, you may know that the humpback whale is known for its singing. This part of the book is true." And then we go on, as I said in the introduction, into Soren's really discovery of music that Soren likes, which is very different than what the music is that Soren's hearing around this particular humpback whale. And you're exploring a couple different things here, as you just described. I mean, one is artistic taste, but the other is persistence.
Yeah, I mean, this is based on fact. Like, I don't know if everybody knows, but maybe 5 years ago I read that humpback whales actually have hit songs, and that there will be seasons of the year when all the humpback whales are basically singing the same song. Maybe one of them invents it, and then it catches on, and you'll hear humpbacks from one sea to the other all over the globe singing the same song. And I thought that was fascinating. So that was like the beginning of Soren, but I thought if he's a younger whale, maybe he has ideas for sort of shorter, jauntier songs, because the humpback whale songs are, to our ears, at least a little bit long and monotonous. And so, you know, he has an idea, but he's also very, maybe he gets so excited by his first draft, I think, that he just wants to share it immediately. And I think that the just exuberance of creation takes over, and he forgets that there's a little bit of rigor involved in making sure that, you know, that you can channel that exuberance into something that actually is good. I think that there's always that difference between artistic intention and artistic impulse, or the energy of creation, and then actually making something sensical and rigorous and you know, and solid out of it. And, you know, this is something that we've been teaching at our centers here in San Francisco at 826 Valencia for 22 years now, is that taking that amazing energy, you know, of maybe a 10-year-old that has a story in their head, and then making sure that they can channel it and into something readable. That's something that, you know, you do have to get the story structure into some kind of sensical shape. You do have to work on your grammar. You do have to write multiple drafts. And I think it's to teach that with young people, it's both like a little bit of a wake-up call, like your first draft is not your final draft. And then at the same time, I think it's very liberating, especially for young writers that are a little reluctant, or they think that maybe they know that their first drafts aren't very good, so they get very discouraged. But once you tell them that all of us, even those of us in our 50s who have been doing this a long time, are still writing a dozen drafts minimum, then I think that there's a sense of calm that comes over them, like, oh, okay, it's a process. It's not zero sum, first draft, ultimate judgment, but more, that's just the beginning and we're going to get there no matter what.
You write in the book, Soren had worked all day on a song and had sung the song pretty well, he thought, and still Hans had not liked it at all. And the other whales had seemed to agree with Hans. One of the other whales had actually vomited from the sound of Soren's song, but had hidden this from everyone by vomiting into his whale equivalent of his underarm. That is, by the way, a great illustration of whale vomit.
It's very scientifically accurate. We made sure.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I mean, it looks like blood, actually, but it's very different. I'm curious as to, you make the point that these are Soren's friends, that these are people who are being honest. They're not being mean. They're just being honest.
Yeah, I think that you need those friends that will, we've always compared it when we have our students do peer editing. You compare it to being that friend that will tell you if you have toilet paper stuck to your shoe when you leave the bathroom. You're either the friend that tells that friend, which is a true friend, or the person that maybe is too shy to tell you that, but lets you walk around all day making a fool of yourself. And so you got to be that friend that says, I think that you can do better. I think that you're on track for something. I think that this is going to be great, but I think it needs to be put back in the oven for a few minutes longer. And, you know, again, it's something that we've always taught, is that, you know, to be a good writer, I think part of it is being a good editor too, and being able to help your fellow writer and say, I'm going to be here to celebrate your latest draft and also tell you how to make it better, and believe that you can, and know that your standards are actually higher than this. And so it's exaggerated a bit in this book. His friend Hans continues to vomit discreetly into his underfin every time he does a new draft. And he doesn't want to tell Soren, you know, he expresses it that way, but also, you know, is there to listen to each new iteration. But at the same time, he's not going to lie to his friend and say, oh, that's great. Yeah, go out into the world with that. And so Hans becomes sort of that, I guess, that symbol of artistic tough love that we all need.
I love that the relationship that those characters have, because Hans is at one point says that one was even worse than the first one, and then later on says, "Hey, buddy, it's getting better. It's getting better. It's still not there, but it's getting better." And the thing that I really liked about that was that, first of all, Soren keeps coming back to Hans, but also Hans is willing to listen. Has not given up on his friend. Wants to listen to hear the new version.
Yeah, even though Soren can't remember if he should put maracas into the song or take them out, and Hans keeps saying, "By all means, like, please, Lord, take the maracas out." And then Soren can't remember if he said in or out. And so I think that I didn't really go into this thinking it was going to be about the artistic process or sort of how much it related to sort of what we all go through, even as adults. But it ended up being a little bit almost directly related to what we all do, even at my age. And it's very close to how I still go through things. I think I will sometimes get very excited about a first draft. And I think that that's the beauty of sort of creating something, is that you do get excited. It somehow gives you this incredible rush. But far more often than not, that first draft is very, very hard to look at. But that friend that you have is going to be that person that can see it with a cold eye. And usually you don't get to see your own work with that cold, critical eye for many months. I think it takes a long time for it to cool and for you to get enough distance from it. So we always suggest, you know, having a writing group or having a group of like-minded or supportive people, or so coach each other. And again, but it depends on a certain amount of honesty and a certain amount of belief too. You know, those people that are working with you on it or coaching you have to really expect a lot from you. And there is a certain tragedy of low expectations that we all suffer from. If, for example, you count on your mom or dad to tell you the truth, they're just going to tell you that everything you do is perfect. And that's its own sort of burden. But having those people that will tell you the truth means everything.
And in Hans's case, without giving away the ending of the book, I mean, even the end response is somewhat muted, isn't it?
Yeah. In these books for younger readers or sort of all ages, I try not to have them on too pat a note. I really think in this case, Hans has muted reactions in general. He's a stoic, kind of not the most expressive person. So I think we all have that person in our lives too, who even to get them to say not bad is the greatest compliment that we can achieve. And so for Soren knows that about Hans, that if he even fails to vomit discreetly into his underfin, that's the best reaction that Soren's going to get. And so by the end, Hans is no longer vomiting. You know, Soren thinks he might have something on his hands.
The name of the new book is Soren's Seventh Song, by Dave Eggers, illustrated by Mark Hoffman, and it's a beautiful volume out from Abrams. Dave Eggers, always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for sharing with us. Again, congratulations on the Newbery, and best of luck in the future work as well.
Thanks, Joe. Great to talk to you.
Be well. Take care. Again, Dave Eggers' new book is Soren's Seventh Song. It is illustrated by Mark Hoffman. It is published by Abrams. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.